This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Outside the Round. Today, a very special guest, a day one member of the Raised Rowdy family. She's got a new record coming out soon. She's been out on the road. She is the pride of Piedmont, South Carolina. We got a girl, Ashlyn Kraft.
Yes.
How you doing, sis?
I'm doing so good, even better now.
Hell yeah. What you been up to?
Just life, new music. I've been writing, producing, and just trying to do the daggum thing. I'm so excited. I just feel like this next phase of my life is going to be so fruitful, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's wild to think, like, because you started out so young, like coming up at Wendell's, and yes. You moved to town, and it's like you feel like you live multiple lives, like so many chapters of life in the time that you've been here, because you've been here, what, now 5 or 6 years, right?
I have been here 6 years, but yeah, like you said, literally just this week, I've been thinking about how crazy it is. Feel like looking back through all my pictures and being like, oh yeah, I did that. Oh yeah, I've done that. It just feels like I've been here for 100 years and 1 year all at once.
Yeah, it's crazy. So how's the tour with old Meg Patrick been going?
Oh, so good. That's my girl. And yeah. I knew it would be so on brand for us to get to do something like that. So I've just been so happy to finally be able to do some headlining stuff. It's been way too long, dadgummit.
Yeah, where were you? You guys were you up in Chicago recently, I saw? Or were you guys been through like the Midwest, right?
Yeah, it's like all kind of above Nashville. So like a couple dates in Ohio. We love our Ohio.
Oh, peeps. Yeah.
They are like country music fanatics.
They're wild out there.
Chicago, yeah, just literally all over the place. Kentucky, which was my first time playing Kentucky.
Really?
Yes. That's crazy enough.
That's crazy. You've been doing it a while, and that's your first time.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to think of maybe like back in the day we played somewhere in Kentucky, but I was looking through my photo camera roll and was like, dang. You know how you type in the search bar and you're like, Louisville, Kentucky, pull up your pictures from back then. No pictures from Kentucky. So that was perfect to fill in the gap.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. So we got to talk about this new record.
Yes.
I'm so excited for this chapter. You're over at Leo 33, and it just seems like 2025 is going to be the year of Ashlyn Kraft, and we're so freaking excited. Tell me, the title of the album is just as on brand as it gets. Yes, Dive sir. Bar Beauty Queen.
Absolutely. Yes, DBBQ.
DBBQ. Yes. I like it. So tell me about this project.
Well, it's so funny how the title and that song came about, because I think one day I just kind of like randomly put that in my bio on Instagram or something, just because Dive Bar Beauty Queen is a song I wrote in my car on the 45-minute drive back from Wendell's Dip and Branch one night after a long shift. I don't remember how long I'd been working there at the point, but it just kind of like fell out of me.
Yeah.
And I never did anything with it, because when I listened to it, I was like, you can clearly tell I was like 18 when I wrote that song. But the label, I mean, everybody just kind of like rallied behind it. I was like, I really don't want to send y'all this song, because they asked about the Dive Bar Beauty Queen, what it was, kind of gave them the backstory. They wanted to hear the song, and I was really hesitant to send it to them. But crazy enough, they actually were like, you should make this, like, you should release this. And I'm like, what? Y'all like this? But yeah, long story short, I just felt like so much love behind that song, and it felt so true to me. It's my first kind of 100%er as a songwriter. And so we just decided to make the album Dive Bar Beauty Queen. I mean, nothing felt more fitting, and I felt like with Traveling Kind, that was so perfect to who I am, and this is just the same. I'm really excited to embody the album around that title.
It's the Ashlyn Kraft origin story.
Yes,
it
pretty
really
much.
Is.
Like, absolutely.
Some girls grow up doing like the beauty pageants and all that. You grew up playing at one of the best dive bars that the world has ever known in Wendell's Dip and Branch.
It's home, and it's
who you are, and it's how it shaped you into the artist and the creative and the songwriter and the 100%. Performer that you are, because starting out so young and playing in a place like that where you really have to win a crowd over, because everybody's just having beers, having a good time,
and they've been going there for a long time.
Yeah, that
too.
Place has been there for how long? It's like 30, honestly, 40, 50 years, something ridiculous.
Something
like that.
Crazy like that, because when I was still working there at the time, it was still under the original owners. I never met Wendell, unfortunately, but I heard a lot about him when I worked there. I knew Darlene, who was the owner at the time.
I've met Darlene.
Old Darlene. Old Darlene. That ain't country.
Yeah.
best boss ever. I just loved working there. And I had played like dive bars around town before I was even 18. I don't think a lot of them knew that.
Yeah.
So sorry. But then when I got, I was working at Academy Sports and Outdoors at the time when I got the offer to work at Wendell's Dippin' Branch. And told my parents, I was like, I got to do this. And they were not a fan. But I think the first time I actually like defied them in my life, it really turned out to be what I needed in order to, I think, be where I am now.
Yeah. And that room has had so much history, and you getting to be like do the house band thing. So many people, like, especially in today's day and age, like you have the pop on social media, but you've never played a show.
Yes.
Or you have people that, grind and then don't have the team around them. But to come up the way you did, like a lot of people have to move to town and get reps on Broadway.
Yes.
You got to do that before you even had to come here.
Yeah. And I think it's totally possible for people to do that. I mean, that was kind of the thing, you know, back then was just throw a band together and play as many shows as possible. And but yeah, Wendell's, like, that is where I truly, I think, learned to entertain a crowd and also dig into all the really older, like, all the older great country music, because I was playing with very seasoned musicians at that point, too, that they knew everything. Like, talk about Broadway singers, that they're that times 10. They just knew all the hits, all the things, and they played their butts off. So me being a little 18, 19-year-old girly coming in there, wanting to sing like Kelsey Ballerini, but also, you know, Keith Whitley. It was, I don't know, it was just such a cool environment and a great place to learn, I think, all those very useful skills today.
Yeah. So backing up then to go from Piedmont, to go from small town upstate South Carolina to the big city of Nashville, Tennessee, what was that process like of you getting here to town?
It was a long one. I think I fought it for a really long time just because I wasn't super into the country music culture, but I think I just heard here and there, you know, just how cutthroat the industry was. And ultimately, my passion was just music. I didn't have any other kind of motive behind it other than to write songs that healed me, but also hopefully healed other people the way music did for me. So that was kind of my goal. I did The Voice. I made it to top 10. And then I actually took a year off after that. But in that process, I did save up a good bit of money. And I was like, well, okay. I think I'd just like gotten out of a relationship too. And so I don't know. I think at that point, I also had my hair license. So it was like do hair.
Yeah.
And stay around Piedmont, South Carolina, which was great. I love Piedmont. That'll forever be home.
Yeah.
But for me, music was just that one driving factor that I was like, I don't think I can live with myself if I don't at least find out what happened. So that being said, I took that money that I made from The Voice and told my parents, I think I'm going to do it. Like, I think I'm just going to move. And my band at the time, we all ended up moving together. And we were just like, screw it. Let's just go up there. And leading up to this, we had played some gigs at like Ole Red, you know, the 4-hour shifts, Broadway gigs, covers, which I was used to at the time. And that was kind of like my first step into Nashville. That paid for our trips. And then that's when we moved and we're like, okay, we're here. We're just going to take every gig we can. And fortunately, not long after that, I got the opportunity with Morgan Wallen and everything literally just snowballed from there.
Yeah. And I think something that you did so well with moving here, you found your girl gang. You found your tribe, your people, your homies. And that's something I always tell, because we get hit up a lot, Nick and I, about like, so what do I do when I first move to town? I'm like, you got to find your people. You got to find your friends that you want to support and the people that are going to have your back no matter what. And you found yourself as like the younger sister of like some bad bitches. Like, you talk about like, and you see it right now with like the Ellas of the world. Like, you see, like, it wasn't always like that, you know? It's like the Lainey Wilsons, the Ashley McBrides, the Hannah Dashers, the Meg Patricks, the Casey Tindalls, like your whole crew, and you're a part of that. Like, you guys lived together, you guys went through.
They just took me in.
Yeah. And it was like, how important was that to, like, when you first got here, having those friends and being around incredibly, like, strong-powered women?
I mean, you have to have a support system no matter where you are in life, what you're doing, period. And I literally, I think I was just kind of thrown into the pit. And so to have them be like, hey, I mean, I genuinely couldn't even, thinking back, tell you how we all initially first met. I think Farron was the first one I met. Farron, yes.
Farron's like the queen of that whole crew. She's, again, OG Raise Rowdy. She was the first Raise Rowdy interview that Nikki T ever did.
Oh, my God. Full circle.
Yes.
Yeah, I think she was out at Red Door, and me and my drummer and my bass player at the time, we were just hanging around and didn't know anybody. I mean, we were just there. And I think I ended up meeting Farron. We probably knew each other through social media. Like, I followed her and I think maybe Lainey and Casey. I knew Casey because she was like a North Carolina girl and that was close to home. But yeah, with them being friends with each other, that all just kind of opened up. And I'm very thankful that they kind of included me, you know, from the get-go, because this place is tough for anybody. And it's tough with anything to not have a support system. So you got to have those people that really truly understand you and are there for you. And like, I have my best friend Corey, who, I mean, she's also in music, but she does a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And so there's just literally so many different things to it. It's nice to have that support behind you, especially when you're kind of down in the dumps and you're like, How did you handle this? Because I don't know how I would handle this at the moment. So, yeah, it's just like a sounding board for everything you go through.
Yeah, and you talk about having a team. I feel like you have found yourself with, like, the Leo 33 crew.
Bless up. Yes.
Like, and just what's going on there with yourself, with Zach, with what they've got going on. Because you're as country as it gets. Like, you hear it in your voice when
I
you
like
talk.
To think so.
You hear it when you think, no, you're from Piedmont. Like, you rep the hometown very well. And if you want to know what small town South Carolina is like, listen to an Ashland Craft song. You
Absolutely.
Know? And I feel like they are embracing that so well.
Yes. No, I... Like you said, I think I never try to be country. We were just raised blue collar. Yeah. Like, dad is a mechanic. Mom has worked in HR for longer than I've been alive, the same job. Like, they are hardworking blue collar people. And Piedmont has been, sorry, I squirreled. What was your original question?
My original question was like, was Leo 33 and them embracing you for like, and because you're as country as it gets. Like, you don't have to try to be country. Like, if you want to go back to, if somebody's wondering what is small town South Carolina like, listen to an Ashland Craft song.
Yes.
I feel like they let you do, they're giving you like that boost of confidence to put out a song. Yes. like Dive Bar Beauty Queen,
and
you know?
That is so important. I think, again, there's so many different versions of what country is, but I've never wanted to force anything, and I know what I love. I know what music moves me, and to have Leo 33 be so utterly just, like, supportive of that is a dream come true. Like, I always try to find the right words because I always feel like what I say is never enough, but there's just been such a huge shift in me, just as a person, having them just fully support the music that I'm loving. I think they see the vision, and I think they know that you're going to get your best product when your artist, or, you know, is feeling it, you know, is feeling their own music. And it's such a collaborative effort too. It's never like, I love this and that's it. It's always like, hey, here's these songs we like. They throw out songs. I mean, my last release, Lie Little, was an outside cut that
great song.
Daniel and Natalie from Leo pitched me.
So on, you know? Brand, too. Oh. You sing the hell out of that song, girl.
I was obsessed. There's been so many songs already just from the get-go that they've sent me that I'm like, can I cut all of these? Like, these, where have these songs been hiding? Because I'm such a person who is like, the song wins no matter what. I don't care if I wrote it. I think there's so many great songwriters in this town. And so many great songs sitting around. So, again, to have them have that vision already from the get-go and pitch cool music and be open and willing to let me and two of my friends who are amazing producers, Jess Grommet and Lee Starr, I mean, they're also producers, writers, and they've been grinding in this town for a long time. And I'm like, how cool would it be to come up with your closest friends and the people that know you and have supported you? And they've been all on board, and I think we've gotten great product out of it. I truly do. So I'm just forever grateful to them, that whole entire team, for accepting me as I am, the music that I make, and wanting to be champions of that.
Yeah, and the songwriter side of you, you do that so dang well. I remember the first time I saw you at a round. I know I had you at Live Oak a bunch, and like you've come up like Rowdy on the Row and In the Round and Outside the Round now and all of that. But you were like, I classify you as like the end of that, or I know it's still around, but it's not the same, the revival era.
Yeah,
of like big Rob and Channing and the magic that was Tuesdays at Tin Roof.
100%.
And you were here for like a really cool chapter of that.
Called the tail end.
Yeah, the tail end. And it's like you were coming up and like the Americana kids of like the Ben Chapmans and the Meg McCrees and the Harper O'Neils and the Tyler Halversons and like
so good.
Matt Daniel, Joby, like Colin Nash, Ryan Nelson. So many people that were just... The songs just spoke so well.
And still do. I'm like, look all of these people up. Like Job Fortner, I knew him back when I worked at Wendell's. Didn't even know him back then. He was coming through, and it was Luke Combs also when he was just starting out inside Wendell's, not outside.
The little honky-tonk.
The little inside bar. Luke Combs was headlining, and Job Fortner, I will never forget, he opened the show, and I just stood there like, who is that?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, to be able to catch the tail end, I mean, it's very much still alive and well, but I feel like there was such a energy in that group of people and meeting y'all and, like, I don't know, it's just, I feel honored to be in that category, I guess.
Yeah, because you talk about, like, working with guys like Lee now and, like, creating with your friends, and that was so much creating with your friends, and it was such, like, a proving ground in there of, like, you better bring your A game to Rob's round, you know, and Big Rob and that whole crew and that whole era. And you can't talk about like the history of Nashville, the history of country music without the Whiskey Jam, without like Revival. Now it's wild that we're doing what we're doing. But yeah, Revival to me, like Nick and I always say, like if it weren't for Revival, if it weren't for Revival, Nick and I wouldn't be inspired to like do events. Like
absolutely,
those rounds are what made me. Because Nick and I aren't writers. We just love listening and talking about it.
We are carrying the torch.
Which, yeah, dude.
In your own way. And it's created such a brand and an environment in a non-business way. I hate those words in a sense. But it's true to who a lot of us are. So it's also nice to have that platform as well. Raise Rowdy, I mean.
Yeah. And you,
that sums it up.
And you've been in, I remember I think it was at Corey's Land where we camped, right?
It's a friend of a friend.
And then you've been to like different like festivals, and we've seen you at shows, and like
we've lived a lot of life.
Yeah,
together.
From like the get go. I remember, Nikki like writing blogs about you in like 2008,
so
like before you even moved. Yeah, but it's like it's cool to watch you grow, and like again, Travel in Kind was a chapter 4 years ago, and now it's like Dive Bar Beauty Queen is going to be this next chapter, this next evolution. And you've gotten to live so many lives of going out on the road too, and like the list of guys and girls that you have opened for is just absurd.
Lord.
Zach Brown Band, Ashley McBride, the fellow South Carolinian, and Marcus King, Kojo, Brothers Osborne, Luke, Morgan, Ian Munsick, LV Shane, doing the co-headline, going on tour with Meg Patrick. Like, you've gotten to spend so much time on the road, too.
And that's what I love. That's, I feel like, what I was made for.
Yeah.
So it's just, again, looking back on pictures and thinking back and on how little time I've been here, I feel ultimately so blessed for those people to give me those opportunities to, at that early on in my career, make an impact. And also not to mention every single one of those people are like bucket list artists for me. Yeah. I was listening to most of those people before I even moved here, like Ashley McBride, Cody Johnson, Brothers Osborne. I was listening to them heavily before I moved here. And yeah, it's just one of those pinch me moments. Like, and it makes you want to keep working that much harder. It makes you see how killer of artists and performers they are. Like, it's also a learning experience for me. So, yeah, I hope they'll always have me out again. Because, like, the Marcus King tour, too, it was, like, such a rock and roll experience. So, I'm so thankful. And I know that's only the beginning. And I sure hope it happens again. Because every single one of them, I'm eternally, like, indebted to for allowing that to happen. Yeah.
What was it like getting invited to play the Opry by Kojo and then to have Ashley introduce you on stage?
Wild.
And just to play the Opry because you're such a lover of country music.
Yes. I mean, I think the first time I heard about the Opry was from my grandparents, my mama and papa. And I think it was my papa, actually. Honestly, both of them. They've just always loved, like, bluegrass, and they had it on in the car. They're both upholsterers. And so, yeah, I think that was, like, the first initial time I'd kind of, like, heard about the Opry. I can't say I was one of the folks that, like, has done their deep dive and knew all the things, but I think that was what was even greater about it was hearing about it, moving here, learning about how absolutely, like, incredible it was. There's a word I'm looking for, historic.
Yeah.
Historic.
Yeah, it's a historic moment that people all really, really, really want to do. And exactly. Not everybody gets to do it.
Yeah. And so all the time leading up to that, I think I grew such a huge appreciation for the Opry. So then to turn around at Ole Red, where I had played my first gig in Nashville ever, we were at their, like, celebration party, and to turn around and see Kojo on the screen announce the Grand Ole Opry thing, I'm just like, what is happening? Oh, my gosh. I literally could not have dreamt it up any better than that moment. So, and then the Ashley McBride introducing me thing, that was a complete shock. Like, last minute, I think we had written the day before. Yeah, it was the day before the Opry, and wrote a killer song. I really hope the world gets to hear it one day, yeah. But it's called I Just Came Here for the Music, and it's exactly what it sounds like. And I, at the end of the ride, I was like, by the way, you know, this Ashley McBride casually, by the way, if you, I'm playing like the Opry for the first time tomorrow night, would really love if you were there or if you could make it.
Yeah.
No pressure. Seriously. And I think she might have said, I can't remember if she said she had like recording to do that day or something. She's like, oh, like, I'd love to. I think I got this to do that tomorrow. I was like, completely understand, dear. And then to get there, she, at one point, I turn around, she's backstage, and I was like, you lied to me. Dadgummit. Gave her a big old hug. I walk out, and next thing I know, when I'm out there to start singing, she's introducing me, and I'm just like, how do I deserve this? I think is the ultimate thought. Is my first kind of like instinct when I think about those situations. It's like part of me is like, what the heck? I don't deserve to have these people, one, to even know who I am.
You 100% do. And I know you do. I know everybody deals with like their own version of like
imposter syndrome.
Yes, imposter syndrome. Yes. No matter what you're doing in life, but particularly like in music. Yeah. But yeah, you deserve it because these
people are like gods to me.
Yeah, but like, and you're like a little sister to them, and you're somebody that they believe in, and they've gotten to watch grow. And
it means a lot.
Play in front of their crowds. Like you did the arenas with Kojo, right?
Yes.
Right? Like, yeah. So yeah, you absolutely deserve to be there, homie.
Thank you, 100%. Matt. Thank you. I believe that. I truly believe God has led me on a path that I'm just here to go with the flow, roll with the punches. I'm like, you guide me, tell me where to go and I'll go. So that in itself has already put so much just like value into my career to me, and not any, you know, aside from anybody else, to me, that has been such a huge accomplishment for me. So I'm hoping with this next record, it'll open up more of those doors to get back out there, tour with some people I haven't toured with yet, and just keep the ball rolling. And hopefully people love and find something that they, you know, connect to in the record.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing you do too, whether it's an outside cut or it's something that you're writing with your friends or somebody new. All your songs, somebody can relate to. Like going back to some of the songs on Traveling Kind, like people can relate to that. Like going back to your early stuff, like Good Old Girls Like Me, like people can relate to that. Like Right Damn Now, people can relate to, you know?
Absolutely.
Lie a Little, people can relate to. Wrong Kind of Keeping Me Up, like everybody, or even freaking Hooker, like everybody can relate to it.
That's,
you know,
what I'm saying. And I think they're just quirky ways of going about unique situations with these songs. And when forming a record too, I always just say I try to put something, a little bit of something there for everybody, basically. Yeah. Like whether that's music style or, you know, lyric choice. I think music is so broad, I think is the word I'm looking for. Yeah. And I don't know, there's just so many different ways to approach life situations. And yeah. And I'm thankful. Thank you for saying that. It's relatable. Cause I think that's the number one goal as a writer is you don't want to be too niche to where it's like, I can't relate, yeah. you know, which I've, maybe there are some of my songs like that, but I think ultimately there's people out there who can hopefully relate to having a good time,
yes.
drinking a beer, letting loose. Like, and I think that's a goal for me for music too, is to make people blah, 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 words. A goal for me with music is to make people feel good.
So. Yeah, make people feel good, or if they're going through a hard time
yes.
and can't make it past Georgia. Like yes. going back to songs like that, you know, or like Mama Still Does. Like, those are real life situations. Yes. And like, those are songs that Nick and I listen to this day and that are probably getting covered by the house band at Wendell's,
ooh,
you know, which
crazy.
Is which is awesome. So talking about going on the road, where have been some of your favorite places that you've gotten to go to? Because you've probably hit all 50 states by now,
I
right?
mean, I'm probably missing like a handful.
Maybe like Hawaii.
Yeah, Hawaii. I know some of the northeastern states I haven't hit yet, like the smaller,
like Rhode Island and like the New
yeah,
England ones.
I think so. I mean, I think maybe is it South Dakota? I hadn't been North Dakota.
One of them. Yeah.
What is it? Sioux Falls. Sioux Falls.
Yeah, Sioux Falls and South Dakota.
See.
Yeah, that's north.
One of the Dakotas.
I was a tour manager, so my job is to know all these places and remember all these shows. So the next time when I was out with Muscadine and with Trey, yes. I could remember what it was like in that market. You
exactly.
know? So my job is to remember, as the artist, your job is to know when you go on stage, where are you?
Yes.
And that's about it. You got so much else to worry about. It's on guys like me to remember that. But like,
yeah, thankful for you.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason now I'm like I tour manage Rage Rowdy when we go to festivals. Which
right.
is a whole other ball, a little bit more party in that.
I'm about to say, y'all have a good time when you do those. I see the videos.
We do. We do. We have a great time. But just some markets where you're like, this is an Ashland craft market.
Yes.
Where you like going to. Like, where are some of your, you were talking about Ohio earlier. I'm sure going
yeah.
home to South Carolina is always fun.
100%.
I could see Texas loving your stuff.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, you pretty much nailed it. I'd say like South Carolina, I always love. Texas is like home away from home for me for some reason. I've just always had a really...
And it's funny. Nashville artists tend to have a tough time in Texas. So that's a huge deal if Texas
that's always
comes
what
out
I say.
For you. That's
yeah.
a big deal.
I feel like they're either like a hard yes or a hard no. There's really no in between, which yeah. I respect. So yeah, I mean, to be able to have somewhat of a career in Texas is a really big deal to me, especially like them accepting a little South Carolina girl. But yeah, there's just so many similarities, I feel like, between Texas and South Carolina. But it's just, I guess, like on a bigger scale. Everything's yeah. bigger in Texas. And just the people are so kind. And I think what I like about it is they are very straightforward. I appreciate that about people.
They listen.
In a kind way
yes.
most of the time.
Yeah.
Like, they can tell you what they think.
Yeah,
but
they can tell you what they think, but they also, they listen and they hang on to every word.
They want
to
hear stories.
They want to hear stories. And then if they like your stuff, instead of like rocking in the pit, like you'll have in like an Athens, Georgia, or like in Anderson, South Carolina, like it's
right.
a little different. They're twirling around the dance floor. Oh, that took me a while to get used to when I first went out there with Muscadine. I'm like, why are these people not like rocking out? And then I'm like, oh wait, we're in Texas. There's a dance floor. They're dancing,
yes.
and then they'll hop off. Then if they like the next song, they'll go back out there.
Yep.
It's such a different.
And if not,
thing.
It's like, better switch it up.
Yeah, you better switch it up. Play something these people can dance to.
Yeah. No, I love that because yeah. dancing is like, again, at Wendell's, we did a lot of line dancing and we had like the Blind Horse back in South Carolina.
Oh,
which,
God bless.
Rest in peace.
The Blind Horse.
The Blind Ho.
God bless that place.
Yeah, but I mean, that was the places to go on the weekend and
yeah.
do line dancing. And we had a little bit of like partner dances. Everybody did a little bit of everything. And I would, in between my sets, go out and dance. We'd do like 45-minute set, 15-minute break, so on and so forth. That's where I requested like Kojo for the first time. And nobody knew. He was like, who is that? And I'm like, just trust me. Play the song. You will love it. And I think it was like Dancer Home or Half a Song, one of those two. But anyways, and then to go to Texas and to see the same thing, because it's not super prevalent everywhere. But you have like the Dusty Armadillo, which is another great place that I went to recently.
Oh, and that's a Raised Rowdy venue up there, Rootstown,
yes,
Ohio.
Yes. I
love them low ceilings.
And they love dancing too. Yeah, it reminds me of Wendell's.
Yes.
Kind very of very almost similar. To a T.
Yep.
So, yeah, just honestly, any place with the dance floor and people that love to, I love everywhere. It's so hard to pick a favorite. Like, and with thrift stores also. If they've got a good thrift store, okay, you're officially one of my favorite venues.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you thrift at all when you were out with Megan?
Yes. I mean, I'm constantly thrifting.
So what'd you end up with? What were the big finds?
Oh, I'll have to show you. It's just, I can find anything from pants to shirts. Got a cool like thing going on, doing with merch where I'm going to start bringing a thrift rack.
Oh, nice. I like
yes,
that.
I'm going to bring a thrift rack just like to bring it to the people, even if you can't hit up a thrift store at the time, maybe. I don't know. It's been a kind of a goal in progress for me to do this, but I've been starting to like curate pieces and stuff to like take out on the road. And also just to, you know, if you want to add something to your outfit while you're at a show, there's a cool vest that you could add.
Yeah.
Just something that I love to do. I want to bring to everybody else. So, and then, you know, with the clothes that don't fit me or yeah. I can't keep all of them.
Who
I'm
needs
just
a Plato's closet? Go to an Ashland Craft show.
That's you know? What I'm yeah. saying.
That's awesome.
Come on.
What kind of like fan interactions have you had? Are there any that stand out to where like from, because I know you're a pop out at the merch table. You're sometimes even hang out at the venue beforehand person.
Oh, yeah.
Where like you're very accessible to the guys and girls that listen to your music.
I love being a part of the what's going on. I'm like, I don't want to feel left out. I want to be out here with you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there any like particular moment where you met a fan or like something that stands out from like a meet and greet or like a message that you've gotten from like a specific song or anything like that?
Ooh, I think everybody's always had such impactful stories.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're talking funny, I've signed a guy's forehead before.
Nice.
I was like, are you sure? He's like, lay it on me.
That's
and
awesome.
I've signed chests before.
Yeah.
Those are always like the funny ones, I think, always kind of stick out to me just because I like laughing. I like goofing off and I like having a good time and it not being like a super serious thing, I guess. Just because I don't know. There's such like a wall sometimes between artist fan for whatever. It's like this unspoken thing, but I just wanted to feel like a hangout session, you know, with whoever's coming to the merch line. I want them to, for us to be able to have a real conversation, not just like a robotic, like, nice to see you. Thanks for coming out. Like, maybe it might annoy some people, and I know it probably drive like my TM crazy sometimes. I will run my mouth with people, but I just think that's so important because I don't know, when people are excited to tell me stuff, I want to listen. I'm like, what you got? Like, tell me the story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think people are just, the one thing that stands out to me is everybody's always so kind, even if, you know, they don't buy anything, they want to stand there and chat with you. And I'm like, I don't care. As long as I get some kind of interaction with people, that's what matters to me, you know.
Yeah,
I think that's what they take home with them and you take home with you at the end of the day.
Yeah. And you came up going to shows too, like I remember,
yes,
like in having Wendell's accessible to you and the Blind Horse, and there's so many shows that went through South Carolina that you probably remember when you were on the other side of that barricade.
Yes.
And you were watching the show and you were the one getting the photo with somebody.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, I remember Kenny Chesney, Miranda Lambert, I mean Luke Combs, like I mentioned, Kojo, I saw him at the Blind Horse. Ashley McBride, I saw her at the Blind Horse before I moved to town. So it truly makes a difference, I think, even as a fan of music, being able to just have a few moments of like realness.
Yeah.
If that's what you desire as an artist, you know, like just it, I know you kind of run out of time eventually. You can't, you know, have conversations with everybody, but I try to fit in there as much as possible,
yeah,
you know, until they kick me out, I'm running my mouth with somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. How's the pup doing? How's your child?
So good. She was not happy that I was heading out of the house this morning.
Does she go on the road with you?
Not yet. That is literally when people ask me like, what's your goal? And I say a bus. It's not because for me to be comfortable. It's because I want to bring my dog.
Yeah.
It's so hard leaving her, and she's 7 years old. She'll be 8 this year.
Wow.
But I've literally had her since before I moved to town. I'm convinced she's the only way I've survived this town this long is coming home to her. And she's so smart. She's a blue heeler. Dolly girl. Matt knows her, but yes, I realize well. Not everybody knows who Dolly is. And yeah, she's just the smartest girl, so sweet. And I want to make, my goal in life is to make her happy while she's around.
Yeah.
So yes, hopefully one day I'll get to bring her out on the road.
Yeah, Dolly on the road would be electric. She's so well behaved. Like, you can already take her anywhere.
I can. She's a great riding dog. She sheds so bad.
Yeah, she's a healer. Yeah.
My ex told me she sheds twice a year. And my dummy, never having a dog before, was like, oh, nice. And my dad was like, yeah, that means once in the first half of the year, once in the second half of the year, the entire time, basically. But I will forever have a blue heeler after her. So, yeah, she will be on the road with me eventually. She's a great riding dog. She will sleep the entire time. So I'm just going to have to make it happen.
Yeah, we love Dolly. Yes. So look forward to
Dolly
hopefully
is that
seeing,
girl.
Forward to hopefully seeing her soon. So again, going back to this record, how many songs are we looking at on here? Do you know off the top of your head? I know it comes out May 30th, so we're not too far off from it. We're about a month out.
Yeah, 11 songs, and like probably can't tell. It looks like tally marks, but 11 is like the family number. My dad used to do some like racing back home. Like I don't know if it was dirt track racing. I think there was a track actually. But Greenville Pickens Speedway is what it was called. And he was number 11. And I don't know why. It's just kind of like stuck as a family number ever since, and kind of felt like it brought me good luck in a sense. Yeah. So for me, the last record had 11 songs. This one, I think it started out as 10. And I was like, it just doesn't feel right. I think I need to add an 11th song. So there's 11 songs. And it's just an exciting body of work. I think it's such a showcase of like the music that I love, the music that I love dancing to. There's also some just really beautiful moments on the record. I think there's some heartfelt moments on the record. So there, as I said, there's a little bit of everything, and I try not to pivot it all towards like one thing, I guess, so to speak.
Yeah. How do you think, like, because it seems like Travel in Kind was like that chapter of your life, and now fast forward 4 years, it's like you had gone through what would have been like the 4 years of college or 4 years of high school.
Yes.
Like, how would you describe kind of where you're at now versus where you were at then?
I mean, I'd like to say ultimately I like haven't changed as a person, and I'm okay with that. Like, just at the core of who I am, I still feel very much like I'm the same gal. I'm still doing the same stuff. Maybe a little bit more of a step forward from 4 years ago, thankfully, but I don't know. It's like, I think I'm just in a different season of life, a different chapter. And, there's been relationships, no relationships. There's been loss. There's been struggle. There's been, you know, just all the things. So just typical life stuff. I don't feel like there's been a massive change, and hopefully we've tried to make that, you know, clear on the record that it's not a departure from Traveling Kind at all. Like, it's very much still, that is still the sound ultimately. Yeah. And I think vocally we just kind of wanted to like shine it, not, I hate to use the word shine it up, but just like, I don't know, spruce it up a little bit more. I hate to say too much. I don't want to like any preconceived notions, but yeah, I don't know. I'm excited about the body of work. I think it's been the most fun stuff we've worked on yet. So
yeah. How does it feel to be getting closer to the 30 club? I turned 30 in January, so I'm right there
yes.
with you.
Yes. You know, it's been an interesting journey. I still feel like sometimes I'm 25.
Yeah, same.
I'll be 29 this year. So yeah, I mean, I've also felt like I've been 30 my entire life.
Yeah, right.
Too.
Yeah, you have that old old soul kind of thing.
Yeah. So I don't know. It just, again, kind of doesn't feel like anything's changed. And I honestly kind of feel like I'm stepping into some of the best years of my life. I feel like I've had glow ups from, you know, 10 years ago. Looking at myself then versus now, I feel like I've gotten better about stuff with, or how do I say this? Like, I don't know. I've just improved myself a lot as a person, even now, you know, getting older. So
yeah,
it's all good things. I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited for you. And, One of my favorite songs from when you were playing the rounds back in the day was when I Smoke Weed first came out.
Oh yeah,
and that was when I was still I'm still 420 friendly, but yes. I enjoyed it at the wedding this past weekend up in Jersey. It was beautiful, beautiful time. Shout out to Andreas and Shannon. Where would you say of the states that you've been to, where's your favorite legal state?
Because
there's so many now. It used to just be Colorado or Cali and like Illinois. Mm. And now it's like they're just popping up. Like Ohio's legal now.
I wish I could say Tennessee.
I know. Me too. Me too. Me too. It's getting there.
We are, hopefully. I would say, Michigan.
Oh, the bang for your buck in Michigan.
They hook you up out there.
They do. They do.
And they're so chill in the, like, I don't know how to explain it. I guess in a lot of other places, it's very like corporate, like clean, and
you feel like you're.
I mean, everywhere's clean.
You feel like you're in an Apple store.
Yes.
And I want to be in like the sketchy vape shop down the road in Antioch. Yes. That's what I want.
I want the vibes bumping. I don't want to be scared to like ask you a question about what I'm looking for. And sometimes that's how I feel in some of these like really fancy like dispensaries. So. Yeah. I don't know. Michigan was a good time when I went there to the dispensary. We just went to like St. Louis. They had a pretty chill dispensary.
Yeah.
Montana was great.
Oh, I haven't done Montana yet.
Montana was awesome. Yeah. I mean, everywhere we've been with a dispensary, they've always been super chill. So,
have you been to Oklahoma and had Oklahoma stuff yet?
Oh, yeah.
Because Oklahoma is an interesting place. Because it's like it's legal to grow, but it can only be sold medically.
Right.
So it's like when you're at the venue, they'll be like, hey, if you want anything.
Here's a mason jar.
And then and then you're like, oh, wait, this is for like the terminally ill.
Yeah.
And then you try it and the gauge is just.
I know, like
Cross Canadian Ragweed has like the Boys from Oklahoma song, but they know what they're doing there.
Yes.
I'm excited. I'm going to Oklahoma next.
That surprised
in a few weeks,
me.
Which I'm excited about. It's Nikki T's first time in Oklahoma. He has no idea what he's in for.
He's going to be excited. Yeah. The last time I think I got some stuff in Oklahoma, it was a literal mason jar about that big, just filled to the brim. And he's like, here, I grew this. I'm like, awesome.
They're all so proud of their homegrown.
So excited for you to try it. So shout out, thank you to the folks in Oklahoma.
Yeah,
that experience.
Yeah, I have a guy, Dan. It's either Darren or Dwayne, and I'm gonna confirm it because we're going back out there in Stillwater. He makes these gummy bears that he sells.
Okay,
but they're 90 milligrams of RSO. Like,
I don't know what that is.
It's like a heavy duty. It's like a dab, but a bear. And it's like a little tiny bear, and I've only like eaten the little ear off the thing. It's like this big. I can't eat the whole gummy bear.
That's such a tease. Yeah, I'm such a foodie.
But I'm also,
I want the whole diet.
My tolerance is also so really low, you know?
True.
Like somebody's tolerance is higher. I've seen people house these gummy bears, but they're just.
I don't do a lot of gummies.
Yeah, I'm not a gummy person.
It either hits you really hard for me, or not at all.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, maybe I should do two more.
Yeah,
so, and that's not a good idea.
Yeah, the place that I'm at is just hitting the one hitter, and
you can
gauge because even pens, you can go to the moon real quick.
Yeah, if you're not careful, because sometimes you're like, is it working? And by that time, you're choking on your own spit.
Oh, it's working. Have you been down to Key West for the Songwriter Festival?
It's been like I went 2 years ago.
Because I think we were there at the same time.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, because I popped in.
They're at Island Dogs.
Yes, Island Dogs. That was so fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't been since then.
Yeah, we're not going this year. It's our first year not going. Yeah,
we're
going to Oklahoma instead. So
I think it falls on my birthday this year.
Oh, that would have been wild.
I mean, I know, but I'm just like, I'd love to go to the beach and maybe not run around the entire time, which Key West is such a blast. Don't get me wrong. But I think the first time experiencing it, I was like, oh, it's 85 degrees. And oh, it's probably best to walk everywhere.
Yes.
And then your gig's at one end of the island and then the other end.
And you're going from Island Dogs or Irish Kevin's all the way to like Ram's Head.
Which, again, the best time because everybody's in such a different mode than what they are like usually in Nashville. So it's just fun to see everybody kind of like out of work mode in a sense and really let loose. And I'm not a day drinker, so that is the other bad thing for me. If I day drink, like I will fall asleep as I
that is caffeine
as I sip my surfside iced tea plus vodka at I'm not going to tell you what time it is.
Yeah, but that has caffeine in it. It's got that sweet tea vibe. So you talk about like the beach and stuff. What was the hardest part about leaving South Carolina? Because you have a coastal state. In South Carolina, yeah. you were in the upstate, so you were a little bit further away.
I was more towards the mountains than I was the beach. Yeah. But I mean, and we had Myrtle Beach.
Dirty Myrtle. God bless
you. You said it, not me.
God bless it. I love Myrtle Beach.
I'm afraid I'll get steak.
Out to the friends at the boathouse.
Yes.
I love, there's something.
Old Jason.
One of the worst load-ins, but one of the best times where you're loading onto that little pad and you're having to push the cases all the way down to get on that little.
My favorite part is the green room to stage entrance where you crawl through the curtain. I love bars like that, though. Is like the places that I remember, the quirky load-ins and the quirky green rooms or no green rooms at all. That's the fun part to me. I think that's like nightmare for some people. And that's like funny and life
it's
to me,
Came up doing, it's because Wendell's is like your home base. Yes. Like you grew up doing it. Like for me, some of my first shows were like Sidetracks in Huntsville, Alabama.
Yep.
The Blue Room in Statesboro.
Oh, yeah.
Ned Kelly's, formerly the Capitol Theater or Capitol City in Milledgeville. You know,
it's like Terminal South.
Terminal South, which used to be JD's venue, the gin back in the day. And Tifton, Georgia. You know, like, I love going to all those, the Country River Club in Tyler, Texas. Like you go to all these different places.
Yeah.
And like I just love the character, like the Rusty Rudder in Dewey Beach, Delaware.
Yeah.
Or like Bottle and Cork, or I enjoy like
so many.
And I enjoy meeting like the local, like the road hands, or like the local production guy that's
or the
like,
local like built in kind of crowd too.
Yeah. Like the bartender.
So many characters.
The old like bar back guy at the what the hell's the venue? In Kearney, Nebraska, Joe's Honky Tonk in Kearney, Nebraska. Oh. I don't know if you've been there.
I haven't been there yet.
They only have 3 staff members, and the guy that's the bar back and security is like 70. And he's
love
like,
it.
He's bar back and security, so he's either checking IDs at the door or he's running cases of beer, and there's no other security that's barely a barrier. It's wild.
They're like, "Yep, just that's Joe."
Yeah, but I love it too. Yeah, I love it, and it's cool too that you started out doing that scene. You still go back and do those shows, but you've gotten to do arenas, you've gotten to do big festivals, you've gotten to do amphitheaters.
Yeah.
Like you've gotten to kind of do any level of touring that there is.
I think so. I mean, yeah.
Isn't it wild when you think about that?
It's so wild, I guess, now thinking back.
Yeah, like it all kind of blends together.
It goes by so quickly, and I think it's so important when people tell you, like, soak it in the moment. It's so easy to, like, get run down on the road and be tired and just want to, like, stay in your hotel room the entire time because you're just, like, especially when you're on a bus.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
The van life.
Yeah. We've been doing the van. I've personally been doing the van life for 11 years now, like straight up, which is fine. Like I will do it for as long as I need to.
Yeah.
But it's so important even in those moments to like just even in experience the general vicinity that you're in and talk to the people and just find something about that place that you can look back on and remember because it does go by so quick and you're always so tired and this and that and the other. But you get to a point where it all starts running together, like you said. And I don't know. I think that's my goal for this year is to start soaking it in a little bit more and getting out of the, I'm just going to sleep or I'm just going to hang out here. Cause I'm bad about that too.
Yeah. Where do you sit in the van? Are you shotgun rider? Do you get behind the wheel sometimes? Are you grab a row in the back kind of person or what?
I used to be like when we were heavy touring, I was like, we had Sweat Row, which is in our old van.
Sweat Row, I like
Sweat
it.
Sweat Row. Oh, I wish I could show you the theme song on my phone. It's great. My old band member just sent it to me the other day.
Yeah.
But anyways, my dad built out this row in the back, like an extension basically to cover the hole, like the leg holes.
Yeah.
And we put like a little like floor mattress pad thing back there and it was Sweat Row. Usually I would sleep back there. Now I'm just kind of like a shotgun rider or I'm a night driver. I will always volunteer to drive at night because that's like when I'm most comfortable. There's not a lot of people on the road. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to cuss a bunch of people out for driving like idiots. I get road rage sometimes during the day.
Well, driving around here during the day, absolutely. Oh, especially this time of year.
Don't get me started.
It's wild.
I could rant on that for hours.
I'm sure you could.
And usually it's like you're driving by and they're just doing this.
Oh, yeah. The worst is when you see somebody kind of swerving over into you and then you're going to pass them and they're just looking at their phone. You're like, God,
don't
what are you
be
doing?
That person. Put your phone up.
Yeah.
Please.
100%.
Sorry.
The best is when it's like they got a phone in this hand or they got like a can of Red Bull or like a cigarette or like their can of Zin or something.
FaceTiming.
And they're FaceTiming, completely looking at the phone, or they're turning, talking to the person behind them.
I'm such a grandma when it comes to that stuff, but I'm like, you're probably driving like 15 minutes down the road. Can you wait?
Yes. Yeah.
But I'm also not good at multitasking, so that's probably why I do get so aggravated. But yeah, don't be that person, please.
Yeah, what are your go-to? We're pulling up to a Love's or a Pilot or on the good days a Buc-ee's. What are we getting in the van?
Snacks.
What snacks are we getting? Because you're on the bus life. You have bus stock, and it's a whole different thing. But when you're in that van life, those stops at Love's, at Pilot, Flying J,
those are the money stops.
Those are important. You need to have those,
yes.
And those are essential. So you're running into a Love's in middle of nowhere, Lexington, Kentucky. What are you getting?
Yeah. Okay. If I'm walking into a Love's, it kind of changes, but I always try to cover my bases with like sweet, sour, salty, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Usually, why did my mind just blank? Sometimes it's like Cheez-Its or like the fruit trays with like the crackers and the fruit, like in the refrigerated section.
Yeah, the good
I
stuff.
Try to be healthy.
It's so hard to do on the road.
Just tried the... was it Dots Pretzels, garlic parmesan for the very first time?
Good?
Those might be my new obsession.
Wow.
Okay. Always like some vitamin waters, which are not vitamin waters whatsoever.
Oh, they got lots of sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It makes me think I'm doing good.
Go-go juice.
I have to get like a giant water and then usually a Dr. Pepper. I can't lie. That's always got to be
DP,
the mix.
You
keep morale high.
Bubbles. Yeah. That's awesome. What's on the Ashland Craft Rider right now? Because I'm sure that's changed over the years. Or has it pretty much been the same?
I mean, it's pretty much... We try to be pretty frugal and generous.
Yeah.
But it's usually like tequila, some beef sticks,
okay.
Some like chomps or... I don't know if people eat Slim Jims these days. I love Slim Jims.
Yeah.
I mean, just your basic stuff like that. I mean, I think some chips. Occasionally we might... I mean, I hate being that bitch that's like, can I get a fruit tray? Or which totally understandable.
Worse. Fruit tray is totally easy.
I know.
There's people that have to.
I'm bad about asking for stuff,
yeah.
So I'm just like, I'll take the tequila and I'm good.
Do you get batteries?
We just started listing batteries.
That's important. Yeah.
People told us.
Yeah,
like,
just stockpile them.
Put it on your
nine
rider.
Volts.
Yeah.
Yeah, just stockpile them 9 volts and them double A's for the packs.
Yeah. So yeah, that's just your basics.
Yeah.
Nothing
Keep
too
it
crazy.
Simple.
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
Yeah. Try to anyways.
Yeah. And what do you, I know you enjoy like getting out there and camping and like you enjoy like going out with Dolly, hanging out with your friends. But
yes.
What are we doing when we're not on the road, or like what do you do to kind of unwind, or what's like what is Ashlyn doing when she's not doing music stuff?
I mean, thrifting always.
Have you been to Tennessee Flea?
I don't think so.
All right, it's north of town.
Okay, send me the address.
It's outstanding.
Is
it's
it
awesome.
Like a, just a legitimate outdoor flea market?
It's indoor, but it's like people, I guess, like kind of like rent
the booths.
These booths to put all their stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it's massive. And the stuff that I found this and I found this at the Tennessee Flea.
Okay.
For like a combined like $7.
Sign me
Statue
up.
Statue of Liberty thing and Don Corleone, the Godfather bobblehead.
I love
in
it.
White House, Tennessee for a combined $7.
That's insane. Have you heard of, I think it's Oddly Amazing Antiques?
I don't know if I've been.
Clarksville?
I haven't been up to Clarksville for it. I've been to like Goodlettsville. I've been over the border in like Franklin, Kentucky. Because my girlfriend lives up in like Robertson County.
Okay.
So all those small town little thrift stores,
yeah,
they just
hit them up.
There's more of those than there are like fast food places, which
yes,
is crazy.
Which
like
is
they're
amazing.
Huge. Yeah. So there's lots of opportunities for thrifting.
And they're like so well priced.
Yeah.
Like
they're affordable.
Reasonable.
Yeah. You see all kinds of old shit in there. It's
yeah.
Awesome. Like random stuff.
Love Oddly Amazing Antiques, thrifting, camping, like you said. I mean, usually I'm like writing a lot too, so there's not like a ton of free time, but crafting.
Crafting.
That me and my friend Corey, we've been talking about doing like a craft and co. Because we're all, every time we're together, we just like to smoke, have a little glass of wine, do some crafts, and it's always something different.
That's a content series that I would watch.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Corey, crafting. We have to do it.
We're doing it. Crafting. I'm looking over. I'm looking over at the management.
Write it down.
Crafting. Crafting is happening. Crafting.
And it's so fun too, because I have to have something mindless to where I can like completely zone out after so long. Like I just like a puzzle or painting. Even if I'm not good at it, I'm like, I don't care. As long as I can zone out and just think about nothing else, yeah, but you know, perfecting this one thing in front of me. That's fun. I think those are the main things. I mean, me and Dolly hang out all the time, go outside, play ball. And right now I'm like not renovating, but I'm painting my rental house.
Nice.
So just things here and there that make me feel good. Like during the colder season, I'll do like a intramural softball.
Oh, nice.
League action, and that's really fun. I miss my softball days. It was like my gym back yeah, then. And I just love like being competitive in sports and
being on a team.
Yeah, yeah. And it's fun with the songwriters too. So
I bet.
Those are like the main things. I'm sure there's more things. I'm kind of like a chill person outside of music,
I
guess.
If somebody asked me describe Ashton Kraft, I'd say very chill, but you catch her on the right night, that wild, that rowdy eagle will come
fair
out.
Enough.
Yes. It will come out, but for the most part,
I like to tie one on every now and then.
You like to chill, go with the flow.
Yeah.
You know, which is important.
Absolutely. And I think I've just always kind of been that, I don't want to say like super chill. I do like having fun, but I think it's just as important. I think with having my dog too.
Oh yeah. You've been a mom for 7 years.
Seven years. Exactly. And with her being a blue heeler, like they kind of require more. I mean, not kind of, they do require more attention, I think, than your average pup, just because yeah, they're so active. She's not trained for like a job. You know, so it's up to me to kind of keep her entertained and not be gone for forever. And it's literally like having a toddler. So so that is where most of my time goes. But I enjoy it. Like, she makes me the happiest mom in the world. I am one of those girls. I'm a dog mom. But while I'm hard at work, I'm like, that's my family.
Yeah.
For now.
What would you, if you had the chance to go back and tell teenage you, starting out with those gigs at Wendell's, what would be in store for her? Like, look back, like, ew, 10, like even like 10 years ago, like the 19-year-old
God,
you.
I feel like I'm
what would you tell that young, hungry, ready to go, thinking about moving to Nashville but not sure?
Excuse me.
Wide-eyed girl who's wanting to do music.
Oh, I feel like I always say this, but I think it's something my parents have always taught me too, and that's like to trust your gut. I think that's so important just to each and every person out there. Everybody's got their own ideas of what success is or what this should look like for you or for themselves. But I think ultimately it's like we were given our own life to live. And as long as you kind of live your life trusting in your gut and making decisions based off what you feel is right, don't be afraid of don't be afraid of the future. Don't be afraid of what's to come or the unknown, because half the time it ends up being better than you thought it would be. So yeah. I think, yeah, just keep grinding it out. Don't give up. Stay true to who you are. Remember where your faith lies, like so many different things. Like, show the people who are there for you how much you appreciate them. Like, just so many different things that I think are important, just not even in music, but in life in general.
Yeah. What is your definition of what success kind of looks like? Because it's interesting you brought that up, because it is different for everybody.
Yeah, it is. And I think for one person, it can be a dollar amount. And for another person, it can be something completely opposite. I think for me, success is like being happy doing what you're doing, because again, you have one single life to live.
Yeah.
And I think as long as you can lay your head down at night, every single night, and say, I'm proud of myself. I'm okay with this. I'm happy with where I'm going in life. I think that is success. I think success in my mind is never ending.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of, I'm always chasing to be like the best version of myself. I think that's part of success. being the best person you can be. I think longevity in my career is success. Yeah, there's so many different things, but I think just being happy ultimately at the end of the day, there's never been like a dollar amount in my mind that's like, I have to make this much to be successful. I think as long as I can have longevity in my career, be able to give back to like my parents and my family that have poured a lot just in believing in me and making a good life for myself. I don't know. I think those are, in my mind, what success looks like in life.
Yeah, well, I'd say you're pretty damn successful right now, sis.
Thank you. I feel so. I do feel that.
You should. And with getting a new project out there, it's like, who would have thought?
Big
again,
step.
And you look back at starting this thing out and to have now two records, two full projects, getting to go all over the country, all over the world, and have the experience that you've had. Like, it's been incredible to watch. And
I think
I speak for everybody. We are so excited for Dive Bar Beauty Queen.
Thank you so much.
It's going to be sick. It comes out May 30th.
Yes.
And we are so stoked for
the world
to get some more Ashlyn Craft songs.
Y'all have always been such, like, huge supporters since day one. So thank you for saying that. You have literally watched the journey from me getting to town to now. And I think this new project has been such a labor of love, and I'm just so excited for people to hear it because it's such a scary thing. Like, you release your first record and you have a great I felt like I had a great response, so my biggest goal was just to bring more of that to people and hopefully want to keep them involved in the journey as we continue. So thank you for always being supportive.
Of course. And we're excited for what's to come and excited to be on the Ashlyn train going back in the day to now. Y'all be sure to check out our girl Ashlyn Craft. Thank you so much, sis. I can't believe it took us this long to get you on with me. I know you've done the pod with Nick and Kurt before, but I'm glad I was finally able to get you.
Finally. You were here last time, but
I was here hanging out last time.
We didn't get to chat on the camera. So first time for everything. Cheers.
Yeah, I'm glad you like the surf. I'm gonna send you home with an 8-pack of those.
Yes.
And we got a bunch of hats and stuff over there for you too. So y'all be sure to check out our girl Ashlyn Craft and get out your damn phones and go and pre-save Dive Bar Beauty Queen coming out May 30th. We are so
freaking out
excited. And go check out all the other great songs that she has out. We've loved her for a long time and continue to love her here at Raised Rowdy. Give her a follow, check her stuff out. Go check out the website. She might be coming to a city or a town near you. And if she is, shoot her a message and let her know what thrift store to go to.
Please.
Help her out with the thrifting. You know, we all have our things that we like to do on the road, and Ashlyn is trying to hit thrifts.
Join with.
Go thrifting. What a content series that would be. We're coming up with all kinds of ideas on here.
Listen, that'll keep me entertained the entire time.
Who needs a meet and greet when you go thrifting?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, hey, this is our thing. Meet me at this thrift store. Let's thrift together.
Sign me up. That is so much fun. All right, I'm writing it down.
I was going to say, I'm glad management's right over there to watch them. That's awesome. But seriously, y'all be sure to go check out Dive Bar Beauty Queen coming out May 30th and check out our girl Ashlyn Craft. Shout out to Surfside, No Bubbles, No Troubles, Sunshine in a Can, Iced Tea, Lemonade, Green Tea, Peach Tea, Flavored Lemonade, you name it, they got it in a can with tasty Stateside Vodka. Check out our friends at Surfside. And for more on us, visit RaiseRowdy.com. For my girl Ashlyn, I'm Matt Brittle. This has been Outside the Round.
Been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks up my sleeve, they usually just make them leave. So if you know me, if you really know